The doggy? The doggy's outside, I think.
Oh, no, doggy's outside. Happy's outside.
Oh, no.
Happy's outside. We have a kitty. I have a kitty, too. That's there.
And we'll take this like a person comes into a new truth that changes him. Let this convert you in this area, that is, turn you about in this area, if you're not already turned in the right direction. This will make a profound difference in your life and the life of the church. Now, the Bible does not say that God has love, but rather God is love. 1 John 4:16. God does not give us love. See, Lord, give us love. He does not give you a commodity called love. He is not going to come down and put something called love inside of you. I'll tell you that right now. But He commands us to love. Souls, even the love of enemies. But we do not possess such love. Neither do we possess the grounds of such love. Neither will He just give us such love. He does not say any place in His Word that He'll give us this love to love others. But He commands us to love others. But God has promised us Himself. And God is love. And as we, meaning our souls, yield to our born-again spirit, and our spirit yields to God's spirit within us, calling upon Him to manifest His love through us. Behold, we love them that we cannot love. And as we feel, we do feel the love. And we are loving. God, through us, involves us. It isn't that God gives us love and we love. It's that we yield to Him and He loves them through us. Through us. Meaning, not just through your body, but through your soul and your body. And therefore, it involves you. Therefore, it involves you. Therefore, you love and you feel that love. I've had the Father love people through me so much, so many, many times, and some unlikely candidates for me to love. But I was experiencing love, and when the love was not only experienced, but you see, it everything we feel and do also registers up here, and I was left with a love for them. He didn't just give me something called love for them. He loved through me and left me loving them. You may want to take your seat, sweetie, because when this... Now, in 1 Corinthians 1:24, talk to me after service for a moment if you have any questions.
One another.
But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Now, Christ is called the power of God. In the King James Bible, we find the word power is the translation of two different Greek words. Dunamis, meaning what we call power, and exousia, meaning authority. Here the word is dunamis. Christ is the dunamis, power of God. He's the power. Now, God does not give us dunamis, power. He did not come down and give you power. He's not going to give you something called power, and also you've got power inside of you. He's not going to give you power. Although He does give us exousia, authority.
Application.
But, interesting enough, exousia needs dunamis to back it up. Authority needs power to back it up because there's no authority without power. But nowhere does the Bible say that God gives us dunamis, towel. I'm going to qualify that in a minute. But the New Testament does say several places that God gave Christ dunamis, power. In fact, he is called the dunamis of God, the power of God, 1 Corinthians 1:24. We just read it. And the New Testament does say that God gives us exousia power, meaning authority. He gives us power over unclean spirits, Matthew 6:7. That's exousia, dunamis, authority over unclean spirits. Not power over them, authority in the name of Jesus, and then he's the dunamis that takes them out. He gives us power to tread on scorpions. Exousia, that is authority to tread on scorpions. Now that we got power that we can just tread on scorpions, we got authority to tread on them. And he's the dunamis that makes it possible for them to be put under. Luke 10:19. So, God gives us himself that he might be our dunamis, power. Romans 15 13 and 19 says this. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power, through the dunamis of the Holy Ghost. You may abound in hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Not your power. Not a resident power given you, not a resident gift, but through his power.
The little fella.
Verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power, this is all dunamis, by the power of the Spirit of God. The disciples did many signs and wonders through the power given to them, through their power? No. Through the power of the Spirit of God. He is the dunamis. The miracles are done through his power.
Probably was right.
1 Corinthians 4:7.
Let him go.
The same thing. Who maketh thee to differ from another?
I'll be careful.
Let me get that right.
Your advice, counselor. Your principles, God. I'll be.
Hello? Look a second.
This is your point. Kept me from
2 Corinthians 4:7.
What?
But we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
But
it does not stem from us. Neither does it stem from a resident gift called power that we have now in us all the time, residing in us, because he gave it to us on March 19, 1982. Not that, 1981 or whatever. Not that. But it's his power from him who liveth within.
What? My wife. I guess he told my wife.
Chapter 12 and verse 9.
Trouble. In an area. Tendency and a problem. He blamed us.
And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Not that God gave me power, the power he's given me takes my life and I'm able to handle the thorn in the flesh and all these things. No, but rather that his power may rest upon me, because he is operating in me and through me. Ephesians 3:20.
How come you didn't?
Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Not God's power given to us that is now ours, but the power that works in us.
And go out to horses and chickens and
You said power over unclean spirits, Matthew 6:17, should be Mark 6:7.
And she did.
Okay.
And told me one time, because I quit, it was another church.
The only scripture that says that we receive dunamis power is Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. But this does not mean resident power. Does not mean when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, he's going to give you a resident power, that from now on, that power, that thing called power, is going to take your life and guide it and operate through you. But it means Holy Ghost power. It means God's power. It means God's Spirit working in us. We have no resident power outside of God. It means when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, I mean, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, He now being in you is going to operate in power through you as you yield to the Holy Ghost. Therefore, you're receiving power because you're receiving Him and His power. That's what it means. In 1 Corinthians 1:24, it also says Christ, the wisdom of God. Not only the power of God, He's the wisdom of God. Now, yes, James 1:15 does say, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And give it to all men liberally and upbraideth them not. But other scriptures tell us that the wisdom given us is himself operating in us. If you lack wisdom, he's going to give you wisdom. He's not going to give you something called wisdom that's going to come down and lock inside of your mind. And now something happened to your brain cells, and now you got wisdom. He is going to let himself begin operating through you. And that's how he gives you wisdom, is letting him be the wisdom to you as you yield to that Spirit of God. And you'll have to yield or you won't have the wisdom. He will be your wisdom. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:7 says this. I'm getting at something, so pay attention. So that contrarywise, ye ought rather to forgive him. No, that's not it. I think I'm... Let me look.
Garden.
1 Corinthians 2:7. Here we go. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What wisdom do we speak? Our wisdom? A gift within? We speak the wisdom of God. It's His wisdom that we speak. Him speaking through us. As Christ said, I speak only that which my Father giveth me to speak. We then yield to our Father who giveth us wisdom to speak, and we speak His wisdom.
Well, yeah. Knowledge of what? Good and evil. All?
Ephesians 1:17.
You know that.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom. And revelation in the knowledge of Him.
You had it.
Notice, He didn't say, may give you wisdom, the Spirit of wisdom.
You wouldn't.
The Spirit of wisdom is that which flows from God, as opposed to that which is given to us to have within ourselves. He gives you the Spirit of wisdom because He gives you the Holy Spirit, which is the very Spirit of the wisdom that shall flow out of you.
Do you have it for mine?
Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of God dwell in you in all wisdom. That's the wisdom is the word of God. Spoken is wisdom. Because it's God's wisdom.
Thou shalt not.
Not something He gave you. It's God's wisdom.
But the serpent said it.
We just read it or quote it.
I have knowledge, Lord.
So God does not give us a commodity called wisdom. But He gives Himself to us to exercise Himself in wisdom through us. That is, we yield to Him to manifest divine wisdom. We don't just have wisdom from now on. Now, of course, we ourselves do become wiser as we grow in God and allow God to manifest Himself through us. And as we hear His wisdom of His Word, because it registers in our mind.
His Son.
And we do learn. We are beings that learn. And so when we keep getting the word of God, which is the God's wisdom, it's being imputed to Him. And when God is exercising wisdom through us, we hear ourselves speaking, it's being logged up here in our computer. And we can compute or reason from this registered knowledge. But this is not God-given knowledge we have here coming out from us then. Rather, it is stored data from which we know and reason. The wisdom was from God within.
Now, the Lord had...
1 Corinthians 1:24 also says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, God does not give us something called a hope of glory. On March the 3rd, a hope of glory entered me. This thing that lodged within me. But he gives us Christ, which is our hope of glory.
I will show thee.
If you have Christ living within, you've got hope of glory, brother. And he doesn't give you any hope of glory outside of that. There's no object called hope of glory.
Thou shalt be a great blessing.
Now, we are not called to be something, but to contain someone. And you might say, but aren't we to become like Christ? Yes, by yielding to God. Like Christ did. Allowing Christ to live within. Not to become something in ourselves. Now we become not by God giving us things, but by God giving us himself. He loves and through our souls, and so we love. He gives wisdom through us, and so we are exercising wisdom and accumulating that wisdom.
If we're supposed to go to camp,
Colossians 1:27 says, now, first of all, I want to ask the question. You know what the word yield means? I said yielding to God. Yields means getting out of the way and giving place to. You're driving up a ramp to the freeway and it says yield. There's traffic coming by. Just yield. Fit in. Back up a little bit and fit in. If we yield to God, we are then fitting in with him. We are not trying to run on ahead. We're not trying to push ourselves. We're trying to become like God. We are yielding, giving place to God, letting God come in. If a wife yields to her husband's love, she's just relaxed and she doesn't fight him. She surrenders and let him come and love. We yield to God. Let him be your wisdom. Let him be your love. Now, this is going to be helpful to a lot of people because a lot of people have been trying to be Christ. They've been trying to love and trying to be wisdom and trying to be power and trying to be these things, and they keep falling and failing, and they keep coming to God and say, God, forgive me for being myself and not God. We have to keep repenting for not being God. We got things a little bit mixed up, and we've been constantly keeping us in a negative frame instead of in a positive frame, knowing that it's not us, it's God in us and through us. It just looks like us because it's God coming through.
That cause,
and we are impacted and involved. We do start becoming this way because he's doing it. Not God, give me. Like I said Friday night, we say, Lord, just give me this, give me this, change me, do a miracle then. No, appropriate. God, yield to him. Let him work through you, and you will change and become and do. That's what he wants. Then we can... Don't get confused when we see that we're not anything. He's everything. Then we don't judge one another, nor ourselves, or any condemnation, because we know that we're nothing. That's not the point. We are in Christ. That's the point. He's your power. He's your righteousness. He is everything through us, but he can't operate through us all the time without us being involved. And pretty soon, we find ourselves changing. Without trying. Just changing. Becoming like him, because it's involved through us.
He would bring...
Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Galatians 2:20 says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He liveth in me. I allow him to live. I get off the throne and allow him to sit on it. I allow him to make the decision. I allow him to speak. I yield to him in the spirit, allowing him to speak to my spirit, through my spirit, to my soul. And my soul then exercises the proper responses for the body, that the body might give forth what Jesus brought to my spirit, to my soul, to my body, until it's God coming out.
And come from you.
Now, no wonder. Well, I want to say this first. Only Christ can live the Christ life.
I guess I can.
But we can yield to him so that he can live it in us.
Have to have it.
If you're trying to be perfect in yourself, get it. But if you allow the perfect one to be perfect in you, you'll be acting perfectly. And you will be perfect. We've got to see this. If you see it and get off of that other train and get onto this one, which is going the other direction, it will change your prayer life. Your faith life, the buoyancy, your receptivity, it'll put blocks against the devil. It will put you in a new place in God, and you've got to see, you've got to get off that other mode where we are constantly undone, we're constantly looking at ourselves, constantly whipping ourselves, constantly looking in the mirror and say, oh, no, not again. We've got to quit looking at ourselves, but we've got to let God operate through it.
Is that as long as
it? Some people, because they find it so difficult, look at themselves, throw the meal away, forget about everything, and just live a sloppy life. That's not the answer either. It's allowing God to, it's yielding, it's hope, it's faith. It's allowing Him, it's appropriating, it's walking in it, and seeing it come to pass. And that brings the joy. Now, it's no wonder that God hates pride, because pride is falsehood. Because man has got nothing in himself. It's all God. It's all in all. God is all in all. It's not of man. Pride is an entire lie.
Called into Egypt.
Boy, I sure.
God said Moses.
I sure gave a follow of a sermon. Boy, you want to see the sermon and the testimony? Oh, did I sing? Boy, could I.
And the cry?
My friend.
I want to set him.
My friend.
You.
God was speaking to you.
Sounded good indeed.
Okay, boy, did he give me anointing. Yield. Big deal. All you did was get out of the way and quit fighting him. And said, okay, go ahead. And then he just fed your mind and you poured it out. Herod can do that.
Go into Egypt. I fled from that place. Go down into Egypt. Do I have
God
to?
Says, God is truth. Okay, God is truth. Woo, did you see that?
Oh, whoops, that.
Boy, did you hear that? Did that power come out? He said, God is truth. I said, God is truth. My, that's terrific. See what I did? Yeah, you parroted. Actors do that all the time.
And you tell.
Lord, there was nothing here. It was there.
I mean,
the song was so glorious, people began weeping and milling. You didn't do it. God brought the song, and God did the anointing on the other end. Just a pipe. The best we can say is, praise the Lord, I did not fight God. I let him have his way. I let him do it. God created man to contain him in such a way that he's recognized in us. We are to be his representatives, his image. He is to be seen in us. And we are to be yielded to him, to be giving place to him all the time. But man says too often, thanks God for the creation. I don't want you living my life from within. I'll run my own life. I'll be my own God. You went along and find somebody else to boss. You know, lots of people are doing that. They don't say it that way, but that's what they're doing. Thanks for the creation. Now that I'm alive, I'll take care of it.
Mile a minute.
I'll call on you if I blunder too much.
You don't believe me.
You'll hear from me. You'll get a long-distance call if I blunder. Otherwise, leave me alone. I'll run this creation. That's what's happening, and it looks like it, too.
To you, and
no wonder the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength and all your might. We got nothing here lovely.
Now
Jesus said, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:48. Be perfect. But we are not called to be perfect within ourselves.
Chapter 10.
But to yield to the perfect one within. There are many Christians, and I've heard it so many times.
Nadab.
You see, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, in yourself is totally impossible. And knowing that, many have said, well, that's not expected by God. It's just a goal. You ever heard that? How many have heard that? Well, that's a lie. God does not say, do something that I do not expect. Be ye perfect in heaven, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. P.S. I don't mean that at all. You can't do it. I know you can't. I don't expect it. Just aim at it. You won't get it, but then give a try. Now, what a sloppy theology. And I hear that all the time from Christians out there when they're trying to interpret that verse. That's how they interpret the verse. Oh, that is sloppy, brother. When God says, be ye perfect, he means be ye perfect. How? By allowing the perfect one to have his way in you. All he asks you to do is quit fighting him and allow him to have his way. Just give place to him. That's all he's asked. He never asked us to be anything in ourselves. This is why the salvation is not as difficult as we make it. He's never asked us to be anything in yourself. He never asked you to have power in yourself. He never asked you to be wise. He never asked you to have knowledge in yourself. He never asked you to defeat the devil in yourself. He never asked you to overcome sin in yourself. He never asked you to do anything in yourself.
For the first
The only thing he ever said is, just understand that you're nothing. You come short of the glory of God. You cannot make it. You are total, crisis, you know, mess, or what's the word, you know. You're a failure. You can't make it. Now, have faith in me that I am not.
Well,
and then I give you my spirit. Now let me rule in you.
In the tablet?
See, that's all he's asked. That's all he's asked.
Not
it's not near so difficult when you see it that way.
Fire in him.
So many, God only asked that we let him run his creation. Now our problem is not that we aren't perfect. And you know that's what the average Christian thinks his problem is? It's his imperfection that's killing him. Lord, look at me. Look at me. Imperfect. I can't seem to be perfect.
No.
That's not our problem. Our problem is rather we, knowing that we are imperfect, demand to run our own life rather than to yield to God within. That's where the problem is, and that's foolhardy. And that's where it's our fault, because we won't get off the tractor and let one plow who can plow. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. A vessel is to contain something. The vessel is to be hollow. The something is within. We have this treasure. We're not the treasure. We can never be the treasure. We have the treasure in a hollow vessel. Has to be hollowed out so you can put the treasure in. You can't put a treasure in a solid vessel. You can't take a vase that's not been hollowed out and put a treasure in it. It's got to be empty so it can be have a treasure in, and then the glory is in the treasure. And that's what we've got to understand. We are only the vessel. God never said we were the treasure. Now, but aren't we to be changed from glory to glory? Isn't that what the Bible says? Well, Isaiah 42:8 says, my glory will I not give to another. So he's not going to give his glory to you. We are changed as God is allowed to increase himself in us, in working through us. And as he works through us, we find that we then, being the vessel used, are changed from glory to glory. And we are exercising glory, his glory. His glory that he may be glorified. Not our glory, that we may be glorified. We're not changed to more glory for us, to more glory for us. We are glorified, that we are glory. He is forever glory. But brother, when glory is operating through you, you get the effects of the glory. In John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. We are to live by him, not without him. We are only branches of a vine. Yes, we flower and we bear fruit, but not of ourselves. There's a living substance called sap that is flowing through that comes out through us. And there goes the fragrant flower. There goes the fruit, not of us, to that miracle living substance called sap, which in this case, in the spiritual case, is Jesus Christ, with the power of God. The glory of the Lord. He is invisibly flowing through us that produces the fruit. John 5:19 says, Jesus speaking, the Son can do nothing of himself. So what makes us think we can? If he can't do anything of himself, why should we think we can do things in ourselves? Now, I think it's high time we wake up and begin following the scriptures and quit letting the devil be our theology teacher. I insist that we quit letting the devil be our theological teacher. John 16:33 says, Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, there's got to be a reason why we should be of good cheer if he has overcome the world. John 14:17 says, He dwelleth now with you, but shall be in you. He that overcometh the world shall be in you. And 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So your spirit is joined to His spirit, and He who has overcome is now in you. And as you yield to Him, He overcomes the world in you. And that's why you can be of good cheer, because you shall be an overcomer. Not because He gives you things, but because He is allowed to operate in you. God is an invisible spirit within. And He wants to manifest Himself through our spirits, through our bodies. Therefore, be of good cheer. Just let Him do it, and you'll be of good cheer. I promise you, you'll be of good cheer if you let Him do it. There's no way you can not follow this and not be of good cheer. No way. There's no way you not yield to God, let Him do all the flowing through you, and not be of good cheer. Because you will overcome the world.
Now they had a
Now, in our souls, we are different. Every one of us are a different soul, built of different chromosomes, different genes. We are individual. We are different. But in our spirits, we are alike. We're not even. We're not the same. We are not exactly the same as everybody else. But we are alike. Christ said, Father, that they may be one. That they may be with me where I am. Us where I am. Now, how can we be one? By each yielding to God in the Spirit. Then we can be one in the Spirit. The more we operate in the Spirit, you see, whenever you operate in the Spirit, your soul is affected. Your soul is always affected, no matter if your flesh happens to your flesh, or the soul, or the Spirit, your soul is always affected. And when you operate in the Spirit, your soul is affected. And if you love each other and you'll be one in the Spirit, you'll find you begin becoming more and more alike in the soul. Your soul will become more alike each other. Now, Paul said, be of the same mind and judgment. How can we be of the same mind and judgment? Only by being in the Spirit. Letting God furnish us in the Spirit. Letting God teach us in the Spirit. Yielding the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Speaking by the Spirit. Speaking what He gives us. And then we all speaking what He gives us. And then you know we're the one in the same mind and same judgment. And our souls are growing closer together. Now he says also love one another. How? I don't like him. I don't like him. You ever know anybody you didn't like? How many know somebody you didn't like? I don't like him. I don't like his soul. I don't like his soul. His soul has become something through circumstance and life and things. I don't like it. I don't like him. But how can I become? So how do I love him then? I don't. My soul doesn't like his soul. So how can I? Let your spirit rule. His spirit is like your spirit. You will like his spirit. You will like his spirit. If you see a person that you wouldn't like, but you don't know him, you haven't met him yet, but you wouldn't like him, because this soul is different than your soul. And he comes down into a prayer meeting with you, and he walks in and sits beside you, and you're both in the spirit, you'll love him. You won't have any trouble with him. Your spirits are alike. And you will love him in the spirit. You will love him in the spirit. That means yield to God. Yield to God. And let God, you see, then when you do that, when you yield to God in the spirit, you will love your brother. Now, Lucifer decided not to be a pipeline of God. God put him as the first piece of pipe, the major pipe before it branched out to other pipes. It was God's. Who's the power? Lucifer wasn't any power. God was all the power, all the glory, all the light. He was everything. And it was a major trunk of, and then from there was some other, apparently other trunks. He decided not to be a pipeline of God, but be a God himself. He wanted to be a God. He wanted that power and authority.
And
being put out of heaven, he has taught man to do the same as he did. Not to be a pipe of God, but to be your own God.
But they argue.
Rule from heel. Let you rule yourself. Be a God rather than just be a pipe of God. He has taught us that. Lucifer has taught us that, which he has done. And God's word needs to wash us, be washed by the word, and be untaught that, and to be taught by the Spirit to be a pipeline of God. Man traded God ruling him and feeding him the tree of life for a conscience of his own, that is, knowing good and evil himself. Now, by the way, this is just a thrown in. There are people that teach books that say Christian psychiatrists or so say that they talk about the conscience being developed. I'm here to tell you the conscience does not develop. It does not develop, as some people say. The conscience is not like the soul that develops, or the spirit that develops, or your body that develops. God gives you this conscience. And the conscience is not something that grows, but it is tied to the mind. It is tied to the mind and cannot go beyond the mind. And as the mind goes, so it goes as a co-worker with the mind. It is not precisely the same. There's a conscience involved besides your reasoning process. It's a knowing good and evil tied to the mind. Now, let me give you a proof of that. There are a number of proofs. Let me give you one. As we are going along, doing something that's not good, with all good conscience, our soul is developing, right? And our mind within our soul is developing. We exercise reason, judgment, and we are developing in our mind. And our conscience is completely happy with us doing that. Because it's tied to the mind. It doesn't know any more than you do. It's only pricking you if the mind says no. But then all of a sudden, we learn one day by opening the Word of God or somebody telling us, we learn that that is wrong. Immediately, the soul has learned something, and it jumps up in knowledge. And immediately, the conscience will not allow you to do that anymore. Immediately, at the exact same time, the conscience is affected to the same degree exactly. How did the conscience grow? You fed the mind, and all of a sudden, the conscience was now, it's tied to the mind. Now, it even switches when we backslide. You backslide, and you lose the light from your spirit, and you don't know what you knew before. God takes the light out. All of a sudden, your conscience will let you do things it would not let you do before. How can conscience grow backwards? You see, conscience is not something that grows or enlarges. It is something that's tied to your mind, given to you. Man, he was given to man when he partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, no extra charge for that. Sin is disobedience to God. That's what sin is. Therefore, sin is independence. I'm not going to do what God says. I'm going to do what I want. It's independence. Therefore, sin is a self-rule. Self-rule. I'm independent. I'm not going to do what he says. I'm going to rule like I want. Therefore, sin is self-God. I am making myself God. I will God my life. I will rule my life instead of let him rule my life. See, that's why sin is so bad. It's making yourself God. Now, why do we then say, well, I can't help it. I just can't seem to quit sinning. Friend, we've all felt that way. We've all felt that way. We've all felt like, I just can't help it. I can't quit sinning. That is a lie. You see, how can I quit sinning? Get off the throne and quit ruling. Let God rule. Let me give you an example. His father takes his kid to an amusement park. And in the amusement park, they got this little car that you drive. And this one, you get in the car, has an accelerator in it, and it's on a rail, so it won't go any place. And the kid's just a little tour. And the father says, I'll drive the car. Me want to drive. Maybe he can still a bit. even. Me want to drive.
Leaving.
The father said, no, I'll drive. And the father puts his hand on the wheel and lets the kid hold the wheel. And the kid grabs the wheel with both hands and he decides, me drive. Me take the accelerator. Me drive.
Look back.
So contrary to the will of his father, the kid drives. And he keeps banging into the front person next to him. They have to stop. Go wham! He bangs into him. He didn't take his foot off the accelerator. And he keeps banging into him. And they all joke. The guy turns around and scowls and all this. And finally, the kid is feeling more and more intimidated and more frustrated. Finally, he turns to his father and says, well, Daddy, it's not my fault. I keep bumping into him. I can't help it. Father says, yes, you can. How? Let your father drive. Get off the accelerator pedal. Let me drive. Let someone drive the rig which can drive it. That's our problem. Is we, knowing that we can't run our life, insist on driving the tractor of our life. No wonder we got a problem. We won't give it over to him.
I have an old buddy.
See, but how do I do this? Let me give you an example. How you do it. Husband and wife example.
Stories right now. You look back.
I can make up one in the spur of the moment here now.
I was mad.
The husband comes home. And his wife says, well, honey, I just can't. I can't seem to do this. Let me find a concrete example.
He said, well, if some girl, that is.
Well, I can't for the moment. But anyway, she has a problem. And he says, now listen.
I go by.
I am the head of the house. I know how I want this done. This thing is an important area to me. Now, I want you to do it, do what I tell you to do. I am responsible for the outcome of it. You just follow my directions. I won't give you anything to do that you can't do. See? Now, don't break the eggs over the mixer. Some of my shells might get in. Break it over the sink, over this bowl. Be sure the shells are out and then put it in the mixer. Don't turn it on high speed at first, it might splatter. Turn it on number one first, and then two, then three. And he goes to, now, this isn't a very good example. This is a wifely duty. She probably knows 10 times more by than he does. But just taking an example, whatever it might be. And a better example might be the car, you know, and how to double clutch, or how to the bottom of a hill, see, you're on a steep hill, and she can't seem to say, all right, now let me tell you what to do. Well, I just can't. He said, hold it. Your problem is you're not letting me help you drive this car. You've got the wheel, so you've got to drive it. But let me be the driver of it. I do what I tell you. Put the brake on. Okay? Get the brake on. All right. Now, once you put it in low, okay? Now, keep your foot on the brake. Now, I want you to push the gas pedal, keeping your foot on the brake until I tell you to start letting up, so forth. She says, but I don't like to have the gas on when the brake is on. I just feel like, you just let me do it. Let me worry about it. Now, the failures that will stem here is because she has a hard time yielding. This hypothetical case. Everything goes against everything that she wants. Better example, snow. She's going down a hill, straight hill. He says, don't touch the brake.
And she came to me.
Honey, I'm going faster. Don't touch the brake.
And
get over under the crown of the road in the middle. But a car might come. Get over in the crown of the road.
Back out of it.
Brake! Wham! Pile up against the telephone pole. Husband gets out and. She says, it wasn't my fault. He says, it was your fault. You hit the brake. It wasn't my fault. How do you figure it wasn't your fault? I couldn't help it. What do you mean you couldn't help it? I had to brake. We were going fast. I told you not to. But I just felt like I couldn't. I had to because I was going fast. I said not to. I said, don't touch the brake. I said, get in the center of the crown. But a car might come. That's my responsibility. I am deciding that. I am the pilot. You just do what I tell you. You see the problem? She felt like, she was away feeling like he blamed me and I couldn't help it. And I'm a woman, I'm emotional, I can't help it. That is beside the point. The point is, you have been given instructions and you don't have two pilots, you've got one pilot. And the one who takes the responsibility says, you are not to take the responsibility, I will take the responsibility. Get in the crown of the road, forget the traffic that you see coming, it's going to take a long time to get, forget it. Don't touch the brake. Now, her job is to ride that thing 4,000 miles an hour. That's how fast it goes. Just do what he says and follow it down the crown and don't touch the brake. And if she does and piles up, it is her fault because she did not listen to instructions, feel or no feel. Now, you see, that is a problem. Our problem is the same problem that keeps wives from obeying their husbands. Will not get off the throne. I can't seem to help it. You can help it, but you won't help it. Well, what if company would come? Let him come. Supposing my husband, and supposing tonight, then I will get embarrassed, then you get embarrassed. Well, supposing he doesn't pay his bills, then he doesn't pay his bills. Then maybe they'll come in and confiscate the furniture. Let them confiscate the furniture. That's not your responsibility. When he gets enough furniture confiscated, he will learn that you have to pay your bills. And you can't use Visa and MasterCharge all the time forever. He'll learn that. And it may be better he learn it by taking away his television set and his Davenport rather than you consistently fighting him and having a continual battle going on.
The people.
But I can't help. You can't help it. Get off the throne. Now, if every wife would do that, we'd have a lot better marriages. We'd have a lot more love because it wouldn't be the constant battles. But she will not get off the throne because she's usurping authority. We have the same problem with God. We will not get off the throne. We are usurping authority. We say, I'm fearful. Then be fearful. Just do it. The building's on fire. Get on the sheet and shimmy to, I'm scared. Then slide down scared, but get down. Quit using your head against the person who's in authority. Well, I don't think the pastor should be. That is not your responsibility. Quit trying to pastor the pastor. Let God take care of the pastor. Just do as you're told. Well, what if? Don't worry about the ifs. Do it. Over control? No. Proper, authoritative control. Given by God. God given. That's the balance. That is not over control. There is no control unless it's control. So what is over control? Control is control. If you control the car, you don't control it. There are areas that control belongs to somebody else. There's areas that control belongs to you. There's areas that give control to you. You're either controlling or you're not controlling. This control business has been taken way out of hand by the devil. Control is a legitimate thing given by God. Moses had control. It's not a matter of over control. It's who's got the control. Two people can't have the same controls. Am I right? Let's get our theology from the Bible instead of from men. Now, we need to trade self-love, which is very foolish. Once you see who we are and what we've got and haven't got, self-love is foolish. We need to trade self-love for the love for God. How? By letting God rule within.
Get a sacrifice.
That's how you fall in love with Him. Letting Him rule. Letting Him decide. Giving over to Him. Self-love is from Lucifer. That's what he had. Yeah, self-love. He wants to give you self-love. He wants you to be so much in love with yourself and think so highly of yourself you won't listen to anybody else.
And he hasn't showed up.
Now, I close with a scripture in Colossians 3:11.
Sacrifice.
Will... There is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all. Christ is all and in all. Now, if Christ in all, that leaves nothing for us. Is that how your mathematics figures it? If He is all, there's nothing for us. What then?
Come on the seventh.
We are in Christ, so we share with Him. His glory. We share with Him what He has because He is all in all.
He probably
so, are we really somebody after all? No. Cool. Now you see why I say there's no big men, only a big God. We are not somebody in the sense that we mean it. Some great person. We are somebody, all right. Sometimes you say somebody. But we're not really great. We are nothing. But we have everything. God is all in all. So let's let him live in us and act through us. Instead of fretting and trying to be perfect and trying to be somebody. There's so many people trying to be somebody. Just trying to be somebody. Trying to be a big wheel. Don't try to be a big wheel. Don't try to be great. Just let God flow in you. Let God flow through you. Don't try to be something. Let God work in you. Don't fret because you're nothing. No, you're nothing. Will always be nothing. Let God flow in you. Let him be that. And as he is that, you will feel that. And you will grow like into what he is doing in you. That's how you ever get anywhere. All we're doing is letting him be all in all. That's the whole idea. We will live perfectly if we yield to God fully. Then we'll live perfectly. Then we'll be perfect because God doesn't do perfectness in us without us. He does it through us. And therefore, you do this right, you do this right, you do this right, and you're doing perfectly. Then you are perfect. But he's the power. He's the perfect one. He's the power. But you are doing perfect. You love. Because it's his love flowing through you, and you automatically end up loving. He gives you, he is exercising this peace that's through you, and that brings peace to you, and you're feeling the peace. But he is the power thereof. You see, so many of us have been tricked. Into thinking, we got to be somebody. We got to overcome the devil. We got to beat ourselves down until we're something. And the end thereof is utter frustration.
It's going to take you.
But when you stop and really understand,
you got to be realistic.
Yield, give place, let him do it. Don't say, I can't, it's a lie. Just do it. Give in. Don't smoke. What that means? Don't smoke. And
the
person says,
empty.
Would you pray for me? A real battle with smoking. I can't quit smoking. You can quit smoking. How? Don't put them in your mouth and light them.
Well, what does he get hope? A faith for if he is.
But I want one. Oh, it's not your will, but my will be done. Is that the problem? Oh, now we got it. I want one. I can't quit committing adultery because we come and we get loving and hugging and kissing with my fiancé. And next thing you know, you say, Father, not your will, but my will be done. Now we got the problem. Not that you can't, but you won't let him sit on the throne. Keep your clothes on and you won't commit adultery. That's right. I mean that. We are making excuses for our self-will. There is no excuse. Because God has not called us to be perfect. Just let him rule and be everything. Don't worry about what you're not. Don't worry that somebody else can do something you're not. Forget it. Let God work through your brother and you'll be amazed at what he can do through you. Don't try to be a Russ McKenzie or Mike Saban or somebody. Just let God work in your individual soul. And you'll be everything you've ever wanted. Because you'll be nothing. He'll be in you doing it. And so it'll seem like you doing it. And you'll feel that way. And you'll be satisfied in the Lord. That's the answer. Can you see it? Can you see it? Now this is worth $1 million. But you only have to put half that much in the offering.
When I laid the
save you 50%.
Understand.
But now listen. Don't lose this truth. Talk it. Think it. Take it home. Recharge out the tapes. Go through it again. If we would all take this thing and really hold to it, brother, it'll make a change in your life. You think what I said Friday night? You add this to it. And brother, if everybody did that, we would have a revival and a move of God and we would be places in God. We would shortcut some things around here. Tonight, I'm speaking on how to pray effectively. What effective prayer really is. God bless you. You may stand while they...